learning how to create money is a skill. And you don't really learn that in college. We're just taught kind of how to get into the workforce, if you will. But I'd almost say that should be a separate thing within itself, is that as a basic skill, we all need to learn how to think like an entrepreneur and how to create our own type of income. So when these layoffs do happen, we can afford to put food on our table in between whether you want to go back to work or not. Like, I don't think 9-to-5s are horrible. But I think, you know, having your own safety net is very important.
Turn this up. Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranby, aka Incredible Paul, and welcome to Incredible Paul Leadership, where we learn to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're just listening to this show, you can also watch it on YouTube. But whether you're listening or watching it, thank you so much for your support. So today, I have the honor of having Amelia Badua on the show. She empowers career women to move from fear into action by launching profitable service-based side businesses. As a former stay-at-home mom turned people operations tech leader and entrepreneur, she brings firsthand experience in overcoming fear and taking inspired action. So that was just a little bit about you, Amelia, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Hey, everybody. My name is Amelia. And as Paul said, my whole mission revolves around helping women launch their side businesses. I truly believe that everybody needs to know how to create income for themselves, because we cannot rely on companies anymore to eat. And so I heard a quote that's like, if you rely on companies to feed you, then you place them in the position to starve you. And so that's why I'm teaching women how to start service-based businesses. And aside from that, I'm also a mom, wife, and I stay in the Bay Area.
Wow. So you are very busy, it sounds like.
I am.
So I guess that's a really powerful and interesting quote that you said about, if you allow companies to feed you, you also empower them to starve you. And I'm definitely paraphrasing it. But I guess, how long have you felt this way about what you've been doing with what you're empowering women with side businesses?
Ooh, that's a good question. So this came about actually in the last year. So back in 2019, I started as a side hustler. So I was already working in my people operations role, and I was a career coach on the side. So mainly selling services like resume revamps, interviews, and salary negotiation. But when I got laid off last year, it was last September 2023, I had a change of heart. I was like, why am I helping women promote in these places that can literally lay them off a day later? And I was thankful that I had my own side business to help pay some of my bills. And so that became like my full mission, is like, no, we need to learn how to do this in case the 9-to-5 doesn't work out for us.
No, that's really powerful. And it's really good that you have that, because I feel like a lot of people that get laid off don't have anything to rely on. And like, to your point, then they feel like they're starving, they're stressed, depending on if you have money saved up, which I think a lot of people don't. Even like, you talk about wanting to get to six figures, and then a lot of people are six figures or living paycheck to paycheck. So it's really incredible what you're doing with these side businesses, and especially empowering women.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And like I said, if you can learn how to make $50 on the side, $100 on the side, then you set yourself up to be in the position to make what you'd probably be making in your corporate role anyway, right? I think most of us, when we go through college and stuff, we want to get that six-figure job. We're almost programmed to want that. But if you can find a way to get to that on your own, it's almost a little more empowering. Because then you eat what you kill. I know that sounds kind of morbid, but
that's funny. But no, it's just the way it is. That makes sense. So I guess what type of people do you typically work with? Or who usually reaches out to you? Is it people that, I guess, yeah, how do you usually find your clients? Like, you know, talk me through that.
Yeah. So that's a two-part question.
Yeah.
So the type of women who I typically attract are women who have been working for a long time. So I don't want to age myself, but I'm mid-30s. So I've been in the corporate space long enough to kind of see how the game is played. And I always attract women who are in that same boat. So they've been doing their expertise 10, 15 plus years. They've played going up the ladder game. And they're like, you know what? If I can get paid by this by a corporation, I can make this by myself and get paid differently. They're just kind of tired and over it, right?
Okay.
The second question was, where do I find my clients? LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I'm like, it's such a really good platform because most of the people that are going on there are business minded, whether they're promoting themselves because they want a new job or just in general, it's a great business platform.
That's really cool. And really how you're able to, because I know how we were even connected, it's funny, was from LinkedIn. So a previous person on the show, Ty, if people have watched that episode. Yeah, Ty is amazing. And then he connected us. It's like, you all need to connect and collaborate on something. And then after learning about what you're doing, and I think with, if I'm pronouncing it right, is it Fearless Her or Fearless Her?
So it's Fearless Her. That was the original brand that I had kind of came out with because I found that most women don't start their side businesses because of fear. And so it's all about like how do you place yourself in a position to fear less so that we step into what you're supposed to be stepping into with your business.
Yes, for sure. And when I hear that, especially with the fear, I think a lot of imposter syndrome. So I don't know if that's something that you work with in your clients or like what you've done in that area.
They all have it. Everybody has it to a certain extent, at least if you're trying something new. You're not 100% sure if it's an area that's going to stretch you. Most of us have it. And so it's typically one of the first things me and my clients talk about when we get onboarded is like, okay, what is fear telling you? Like what has prevented you from starting this far? And how can we start rewriting that now so that way later, if this thing comes up, you already kind of have an action plan to how you're going to think through it and go on from there.
That's really cool. Like how you mentioned having an action plan. I think if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I feel like we've all heard that at some point. I kind of want to take a step back, though, because even from the intro I had for you, you started as a stay-at-home mom, then you're working as operations tech leader, then you were like laid off. So kind of talk me through like that whole story, like what kind of motivated you to get back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom? And then like, how did you navigate all that?
Yeah. So one of the things that really, I would say, drives me, I don't know if that's the correct word, is I like having more money.
That's a good motivation.
Right. And so as a stay-at-home mom, I had like all my needs and things met of that nature. But there's a certain type of grind, you know, a certain type of ambition that I have where I want to go out and make my own money in some kind of way. And so that ultimately led me to be like, you know what? I don't know if being in the season of being a stay-at-home mom, if I'm going to feel really fulfilled in the next couple of years. And I don't want to have to pause my dreams forever. And so I decided to go back into the workforce. And then COVID happened not too long after that. So it was very tragic in one sense. But on the other side of it, it did allow for remote work to come. So from a parenting perspective, it was better in that way because it kind of changed the way we looked at work. So I was able to kind of get the best of both worlds. And after being laid off last year, I did think like, do I want to go back into another tech job and do the career ladder? Like we already know what that's about, right? And then I'm like, no, I actually enjoy being with my kids, you know? So I'm like, I want to be able to be more hands-on with them and make money. And so that's why I decided to pull my daughter from daycare, keep her, but then take my side hustle and scale it for a business.
That's really incredible to take that jump. And I feel like, and I know like with a lot of people you work with, and I think just people in general, that layoffs, especially in the tech field right now, they're becoming more and more common. And so I think that's why it's really crucial, the stuff that you're doing to make sure, especially women, to help them with their side businesses so that they are not starving, that they feel empowered, they can continue to get the things that they want or that they need at the very least.
Yeah, no, I think that's real, right? And like I said, I think learning how to create money is a skill. And you don't really learn that in college. We're just taught kind of how to get into the workforce, if you will. But I'd almost say that should be a separate thing within itself, is that as a basic skill, we all need to learn how to think like an entrepreneur and how to create our own type of income. So when these layoffs do happen, we can afford to put food on our table in between whether you want to go back to work or not. Like, I don't think 9-to-5s are horrible. But I think, you know, having your own safety net is very important.
Yeah, the safety net as well as the flexibility, I'm sure, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, because a lot of my audience is really more young professionals, either aspiring entrepreneurs or people in STEM. So, and I guess some people don't always realize that you can do both, because I feel like you rely on choose a career or choose the full-time entrepreneurship. But what I feel like what you're showing is that you can do both. So I guess for someone who is kind of like on the fence, like, how do they start? Or like, what is a side business? Like, maybe I'm not sure what I'm even good at. Like, what's a good place to start?
That's such a good question. I think a lot of, even if you look back in childhood, understanding what you've been into, understanding what you do well naturally compared to your peers.
Okay.
Understanding even like what some of your hobbies are, what people are coming to you for. Being aware of that, most people are not, right? So for instance, like with one of my clients, she was into photography. So it's like, okay, well, get paid for it. Stop taking pictures at all events.
I'll do that for free.
Right? There's someone else who struggles with communication. So she has people that are reaching out to her to solve communication problems. So I'm like, okay, that's the way you can get paid. There's just so many different areas of how you can get paid. Okay. So I would say, one, recognize what you're good at, and two, you can do both. And I found that sometimes our 9-to-5s actually prepare us for the side businesses, and you can sharpen your skills while you have your 9-to-5 or at your 9-to-5, especially if you're like a career coach, for example. Perfect, because you can use the examples that you come across at work for content on social media. So, yeah.
No, that's really good advice. Because I do some career coach. I've been leading more into leadership coaching recently. But even just so even for myself, like, I still work full time along with all the other stuff I have going on, only because I like what I do full time with R&D. So we'll see how long I stick with that or just dive full into entrepreneurship. But I like what you meant, like really on the career coaching side, or really just on trying to understand. I think a lot of it is a self-awareness. And really understanding what you're good at. A lot of times, like to your point, we don't take the time to sit with ourselves and ask, like, do I really like what I'm doing, or I'm just doing it because I've always done it and I feel like I can't do something else? And understanding the different skills that we have that are transferable to, it could be in another career or it could be in a side business.
Right.
So it's just understanding that.
Yeah. And it's like understanding, like, what are the things that you can talk about for hours and geek out on and teach other people? I'm finding in this market, skills and what you can teach people are selling pretty well compared to more of like the fluffy stuff. I guess
talk to me more about the fluffy stuff. What do you mean by that? Yeah.
So I feel like before, okay, no one take this offensively, but like before, you could kind of get away with selling fulfillment right? Like, I want to help women feel fulfilled and create a bunch of motivational posts and things of that nature. No. It's a different season. It's a different crowd. People are like, okay, I want to find a way to earn more money or save my money, or I need to get healthier, but I'm busy. Or I'm trying to increase my social status in some kind of way. So people I'm finding are willing to purchase more so of those things that can help them get real outcomes and results that are not fluffy.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
I know a lot of mindset people are going to be mad if they listen to this, but
well, I think it's not, I don't think it's a bad thing, because I think, yes, you want to be fulfilled, but in order to be fulfilled, you have to be doing something. You can't just self-fulfillment right. without a path to get there. It's not going right. to last.
And what does fulfillment even mean, right? Like to your person, I think that's also important. It's a little broad. So I think the more specific we can be with our services and our skills, like as far as how we want to help another person, then the better the outcome.
Yeah, I think definitely specificity is so crucial, because there's so many, I think we're in a social media world, so we're inundated with so many things all the time. And so unless it can really speak to you as a person, it will be like, well, I feel like this is just an ad, this person just trying to make money, as opposed to like you're really identifying the pain points, having that avatar of this person. Like, I know what this person has been through. Maybe you are that person, or maybe these people kind of naturally gravitate towards you, and really honing in on that, having that at the back of your mind.
Yeah, it makes a difference. You can usually tell based on reading content, or if you're on Instagram or TikTok, you can usually tell the ones who really know who their person is and they really know their services, versus people who are just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall.
See what sticks. That's good. So I guess with what you're doing with Fearless Her, like, what was kind of your process? Did you always know you wanted to target people, women for side business? Did you start off with something else? So I kind of like talk me through how this all started.
Yeah, no. Before, I was definitely more into like career stuff. So for me, working in the HR realm, I had hands-on experience looking at resumes all of the time, being in interviews and the discussions that happen after the interviews and paying salaries. So for me, I'm like, that was easy money, because I'm like, I do this all the time. I know what not all, like each manager is a different person, but it was easy to coach in those areas. So I walked in with more confidence doing that. Changing my niche actually was a little difficult. I was like, oh my God, I haven't taught anyone else how to like start a side hustle, like how I started it. So I had to kind of use myself as social proof and as a guinea pig, and just start creating conversations to land my first clients in a new type of business niche. And so now that I'm in it, I definitely feel like it was the right choice to do that. And I'm super passionate about doing it, but it kind of just evolved over time, and it's going to continue to evolve over time. So in 2 years, you may not hear Fearless Her anymore. Spoiler alert, you might hear something different. I'm already kind of thinking in the realm of like, okay, what got you here may not take you there type thing.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
And just being open to shift as I evolve and as the brand evolves and things like that.
That sounds exciting, that at least to be open to that, because I feel like a lot of people, like when I work with them or just like come across, can almost have a tunnel vision to once they're in something, they try and make it work even when it's not working and it's clear that it's not working. So I think it's really I think it's really incredible that you, even though, because I think Fearless Her, you said it's been in the last year, or how long has it been?
Yes, it's been in the last year.
In the last year. I know you're already thinking like 2 years from now, it might be something totally different.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is yet, but usually if you're going to start a side business, you want to have some type of vision. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if your vision develops and it changes, and being able to kind of ride that wave with the change is important. But it's working. It's working right now. I just feel like in the future, it's probably going to change a little bit.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you feel like it's going to change a little? Or do you feel like, I'll just leave it at that. Is there a reason why you feel like it's going to change a little?
I can't explain it. It's just kind of like an inner knowing where, like when I talk about it, I still feel like giddy, but then it's like, there's something more. There's something deeper there. Because this was also my first year as a solopreneur, right? Okay. And so based on things that I'm learning and where I want to go, I'm like, no, there's like a deeper level that I want to tap into and a different type of expansion that I want to do. And it may require a shift in brand, but not service. The service would be the same.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying. And I'm guessing like a lot, whatever you'd be shifting to is something that you already have like the skills and strength in. It's just that people may not see you in that realm right now necessarily.
No, I mean, like I said, I think overall the mission will be the same. So you start side business and all that. But it may just be under a different name.
Oh, okay. So more so the name than the mission. Yeah. Okay, I got it.
The mission would be the same, but I feel like the name and what the name stands for and what will be incorporated in that name and who identifies with the name, it could be slightly different.
Okay. No, that totally makes sense. I was trying to think like, okay, you're doing this. Is like going to be something completely different or
No.
So Fearless here to stay, but maybe in a new name, kind of a new brand. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
It's going to be like a caterpillar, going to be becoming a butterfly, right? So I feel like Fearless Her is like the caterpillar stage.
Okay.
And then eventually there's going to be something that kind of, it sounds crazy to most people, but if you're listening and you're like, I get what she's saying, you're my person and we should definitely connect.
Yes. Yeah, no, I feel like I know what you're saying too, because even a lot of the stuff that I've done has definitely evolved. Like my mission has always been centered around STEM, but then I realized I've been doing a lot of stuff in entrepreneurship for the last 4 years. So I kind of added that as well. And so that has definitely been the focus, and it was focused on leadership. And then I'm like, there's a lot of stuff I do just in personal growth. So it's expanded a little bit, but it hasn't expanded too much because I don't want it to just feel inspirational or just selling feelings, like you said. Like, I want it to be like tangible things. Mm-hmm. And that was honestly why the podcast was started, because I wanted a way for people to connect with incredible people that I knew and then I'm getting to know as well. Because what I've learned, I think you already know, is that no one goes through life by themselves. Like, we all have either mentors or people we come across or things that we learn along the way that make us who we are.
No, I agree. I think community is super important. And one of the first things I did after I was laid off and I made the decision to get into entrepreneurship full time, I surrounded myself with other entrepreneurs because I did not have time to be hearing naysayers or people in the 9-to-5 trying to draw me back to the 9-to-5. Oh, man.
They will.
Yeah. They will, right? So I'm like, no, I need to get around people who are beside me, a few steps ahead of me, a league ahead of me, so they can kind of keep me accountable, motivated, sharp. We all talk about like our business experiences, what's working, what's not working. And so if someone is looking to start a side business or go into entrepreneurship, or develop in their leadership, surrounding yourself with people who are kind of doing the darn thing to run alongside you is extremely important.
Yes, absolutely. I know for myself, one of the things I did, and I think I'll get back into it, but I'm kind of in a season where I'm taking a break for that community because I've been doing more stuff in the STEM community, was the morning meetup. So I don't know if you're familiar with David Shands or not. He does a lot of stuff with the Social Proof podcast, so it's entrepreneurship.
Is it Fridays though, or is it all the time? I thought it was like Fridays.
It's every weekday, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, it's every weekday, 8 a.m. Eastern, which was 7 a.m. Central time. So it would have been like 5 a.m. your time. Really early.
Not happening.
Yeah, it was very early. And there's several people on there from California too that get on. Like, God bless them. I could not do that.
They're just hungry. They're extra hungry.
They're extra hungry. But all of it was definitely, it was motivating, but there was like homework. It was like, you need to do this. And there was a book club and all these different things. And so I got connected with several different people that I had on the podcast. And that was just a really great community. And actually, one of the people on I met through there, actually helped with trademarking Incredipaw. So it's a really amazing community. But then I wanted to dive deeper into stuff I'm doing at STEM. And then even when I have a nonprofit as well. So I just had to take a step. So let's take a step back to focus on that, because that stuff kind of started ramping up.
Yeah, we definitely got to talk about that. I was like, you're not, that's so cool.
Yeah, the nonprofit. So I like to say that some people have fun in their free time. I work in my free time. But it's stuff I'm passionate about. So like working full time as an R&D engineer and the stuff I do in Incredipaw, really been more focused on the podcast, the coaching and speaking, just as requests come in. But then the nonprofit, it's what I'm most passionate about. It's helping people who are underrepresented in STEM. It's NALA STEM, the National Alliance for the Acceleration of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. So our mission is to unite, support, and build community among all historically excluded peoples in STEM.
That's incredible. And I'm going to have you meet Carmen if you haven't already, because she does a lot of work in the STEM space.
Oh, Carl, I don't think I've met Carmen, no.
We are going to hit it off.
Okay, awesome. Excited to meet Carmen. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess we transitioned to me a little bit, but talking more about you and entrepreneurship, I guess, what is some things, like common things that when people are coming to you that maybe they're afraid of or not aware of when they're trying to start a side business?
Well, that's a good question. I would say fear, the main fears that come up is fear of failure and wondering if it will actually work. So if they do work, will they receive the rewards of it? What was the second thing? It was, what are the fears that come up? Oh, and the expectations. Did you say expectations?
Yeah, like, maybe some things that they don't expect just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with social media is most people only show the great side to entrepreneurship. And so when people come to me, I feel like they slightly underestimate the work that is involved. Even if you're doing it on part-time hours, when you are bootstrapping or jump-starting a side business, there is a level of grind. And that's not sexy. People want the soft, lazy girl job. And it's like, if you want that, don't become an entrepreneur.
No.
On part-time hours.
Passive income. Everyone's talking about passive income.
Like, yes, but it takes work, right? Yeah. So I think the amount of work or level of work is grossly underestimated. And I think also with time. I think some of my clients who've come to me, they think within like the first couple of posts that they are just going to have people jumping in their inbox.
Absolutely not.
How it works, you know, and I love content marketing. I definitely have inbound leads and things of that nature, but it takes time to put yourself out there and actually have people trust you and feel safe enough with you to give their money. And so having them come in with the right expectations or kind of tailoring expectations. I'm all the way honest with my clients. So I'm like, if you're trying to hit 10K months within the first 2 to 3 months of business, I'm not your coach. We go from there. I leave it at that for now.
So. Yeah. Which I feel like even if to get 10K months in the first 2 or 3 months is like a whole lot of luck as well. Like you have like all the things that you put in place, but I think unless you just happen to come across a really big client or know people, maybe you already know people. So it's like,
been doing it. It usually takes time though. My thing is like, let's get the foundation. Let's make sure we validate your service, right? Like, do you have something that people would be willing to purchase? And let's get your first sell. Like, so I'm definitely more so geared towards beginners. So women who are starting with ground zero, who have a few ideas in their brain, but they're not really sure which one to go with. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's take that idea and let's see if we can validate it. And then once it's validated, you're pretty much off to the races from there. You make one sell, then you'll understand how to make another and another. And then you can go up on your rates and things like that.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like that you're really intentional about who you're focused on too, like where they are in their path. So I think it's really, and I know that's something that I've always been working on to making sure, because I'll be focused on something and then people from another area will start reaching out to me because I'll focus on young professionals. But then with that, I'll have people who are like, even in their 50s or 60s reach out to me. And then I'm like, should I be expanding beyond that? But I'm realizing that I can still focus on an area. And that doesn't mean I can't help those other people, but I still have a focus.
I agree. I think for sure. I mean, if people are reaching out to you, data is data, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe if you start having like a ton of 50 to 60 year olds reaching out to you, it's like, huh, what's going on with my messaging? If your intent is to reach the younger audience, so I'd be curious about like messaging and positioning. But if they are reaching out to you and they want something slightly different than what you're offering for a younger audience, you can always create another service for them. So you're not like pushing away money if you wanted to. So there's so many options with business and running business, and everyone can build it in a way that feels good and aligned to themselves.
That's very powerful. Yeah, maybe I need to go back to the drawing board. Maybe I'm not. But it's funny. I know for the most of people that like listen to the podcast, I still definitely a younger audience, but I don't know. Just some self-awareness and do some reflection and see as far as like some of my pricing and stuff, like what it looks like. So.
Because we change, we develop over time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like I said, just because you started out one way doesn't mean you have to stay that way. Mm-hmm. Like the next, you know, it's just being very intentional and doing what you said, like the self-reflection and understanding where you're at and where you want to go next and how would that journey look for you.
Oh, that's good. That's good advice. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So we're running out of time, but I want to make sure I give time for you if there's anything that we haven't talked about yet, either for your story or within Fearless Her, entrepreneurship, side businesses. Really, the floor is yours. Like, anything else you want to share?
I would say, because your podcast is developed for personal development and leadership. And so what I would say is, for anyone who's thinking about starting a side business, you're stepping into the main leadership position because everything falls on you. And so with that, I learned to develop as a leader for your side business. One, you need to be very honest with yourself. So you need to be honest about your strengths and your limitations and what you want to do, what you're not willing to do. And then also take accountability. And so the faster you can take accountability and start creating action plans to navigate or troubleshoot, the better it is. And I would say the last thing from a leadership standpoint is, I would say, have fun with the failure process.
Ooh. How do you have fun with the failure process?
Yeah, because if you look at like a lot of the visionary leaders that are out there, they have no problem trying new things and failing. So instead of thinking, how can I avoid failure? It's like, okay, well, I want to try this fun thing and how can I fail, right? Because if you're willing to fail, then that means you're willing to try new things, which means one of those things is going to land for you. So in a side business realm of things, if you're thinking about putting out an idea, start putting out the ideas and see which one lands or sticks, right? But most people are not willing to do that. And I think part of leadership is being willing to kind of have fun alongside, like fun on the journey and trying. It's a lot of R&D, now I think about it. Having fun through the research and discovery process and kind of being willing to fail at different things, because if you do start a side business, you will fail at different things. And it's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So trust accountability and fun with failure. That's what I
trust would. Accountability and fun with failure. Yeah, I've had a talk I do on resilience. The first thing I say is that rejection and failure is inevitable. The sooner you realize that, then also the easier it is, but you just, it's not something that's unexpected at that point.
Yeah. And I think if, to your point, if you're expecting it, then it's like, okay, I failed at this. It may sting. It may suck. I'm not saying like all failure feels fun. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But if you're kind of expecting it, you can lick your wounds faster and have fun trying the next thing. And then just trusting yourself that you can bounce back from the failure and taking accountability for some of how it failed and just being willing to put in that work.
Absolutely. So it has been incredible having you on the show, just talking about your experiences, the people you help, and being more fearless in the side business and really just creating a business as well. But I want to make sure people know how to stay connected with you. What's the best way for that?
Yeah. So if you listened to Paul and I on his incredible podcast, send me a DM on LinkedIn. I do check my DMs. I'd love to know what you took away from this episode and answer any questions that you have. So LinkedIn is the best place. Amelia Badua.
Awesome. Amelia Badua. So if you're watching, you already saw it come across the screen. She'll have been coming across a few different times. Yes. If you're listening, you could see it in the show notes. But Amelia, it was really incredible having you on the show. Thanks for making the time. All you do, empowering women, especially on the side business, what you're doing with Fearless Her, and excited to see in 2-3 years if it's still Fearless Her, it's called something else.
Hey.
Definitely be checking back in with you. But really appreciate the time. And for everyone that's listening, I hope you got something from her this episode, at least from the very least, understanding that failure is not something that should be avoided or you should try to shy away from. It's really part of the process, and having fun with the failure process, that is how you can truly be incredible.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great having you.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time and be incredible.
Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incredipaul.org/merch, incredipaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.